Hey, thanks for checking out the Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon, a family-friendly actual play podcast. Last time, Simon and Dr. Carol Young helped the animals of Thorndale deal with the aftermath of the bear attack, while Jeff regaled the common folk with exaggerated tales of his own unparalleled bravery. They learned that the town had previously been attacked by weasels from the east and foxes from the west. Simon decided to find the mayor to try learn more about their mission. Simon, pigeon friend, hero. how goes the rest?
Oh, good. We have counselling and route. I don't know what he's doing. We are on a bit of a mission. Do you know anything about Keshta? And I assume the thing in my bag goes off again at this point.
Yeah. My name is Cash. The creator wants to meet you. Darkly.
She says, what was that?
That's kind of our question, really.
My name is Cash.
You've got a creature. Very strange. Does it have anything to do with this? And she sort of waves her claw to gesture at, like, your armor with the flowering vine symbol on it and things.
Well, they do seem to be remarkably similar, don't they? So, maybe?
Yes. Was it Keshtar? Keshtar? I can't say I've ever heard of anyone called Keshtar. Is it a person?
Perhaps. We're unclear.
Oh, but you're travelling north to find out.
Well, we got information that led us this way.
Well, feel free to ask about the town. Perhaps the record keeper, Woody, he can tell you more. I mean, he might have access to something that could help you. He's a tortoise. He's in that building over there. And she points to just a general building at the end of the street.
Oh, records. Oh, yes. I have a feeling this is quite old. So, yes, thank you.
Thank you. If there's anything I can do, just track me down.
And Simon waddles off in that direction.
Yeah, I like it's just the imagery of this pigeon.
I imagine that's kind of how he walks. I can just sort of see him doing that.
One of the saloon doors of the tavern is kicked open, and Jeffrey walks out holding court to his new followers, saying, "Ah, yes, and that's when I slew the beast for all of its foul behaviors." And there's another bang as the saloon door swings back, and all of the, like, 35 grams of Jeffrey goes slinging back into the tavern. To reemerge unhumbled and without breaking stride or sentence. And he's fallen over there. Follow me, everybody, to see how cool I am. And he marches towards the still form of the bear, cutlass drawn and bottle in hand.
Okay, I don't know what to do with
that. Too much tree sap, oh boy.
Okay, yeah, I mean, you just lead a small crowd of followers over to the bear to point out your exploits.
Jeffrey climbs the bear and adopts a heroic pose upon it, and just waits, if anything, basking. He just basks for a decent...
I feel like he's just assuming that somebody is an artist in the crowd and is, like,
yes,
documenting the moment.
Yeah, at least one of you must be drawing this.
Remember me. Remember right now and how cool I look.
Simon marches off to this records building at the end of the street. And you go in and there is a tortoise sort of shuffling around from shelf to shelf, going through
various books and piles of papers and things, and then looks back at you, and he's got spectacles on, and, like little pince-nez,
cute
Wild Wild West doctor style spectacles, and she says,
"Oh, yes, hello. You're one of them heroes."
"Oh, yes, hello. I'm Simon Quail.
Simon, pleasure to make your acquaintance.
And yours too, my friend. What?
Woody.
Woody? Oh, yes. Hello, Woody.
Wouldn't he? Ha 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 ha, joke.
Ha ha, charming.
Charming interview.
Is there something I can help you with?
Yes, I've been sent here because you are the records keeper for the town, yes?
That I am.
And he taps the front of his shell.
Aha! Of course, that's what I'm looking for. I am looking for information of old, I think.
Information of old, I think.
Oh, well, all the information that's ever entered this town, there's some record of it here.
Well, I wonder if you've ever seen anything like this before. And he gestures to the, like, specifically to the flowering vines on his breastplate, you know?
Okay, he leans in really close and examines your breastplate and... Nice. He flips really high to recognize what it is, but it's a heart on the card. So he says,
I've seen that before. It's a religious symbol, I think. It's a god.
Kashtar?
No, that can't be right. No.
My name is Kash.
What was that?
Well... And Simon pulls it out to show that the vines are similar.
Yeah, and Woody, the tortoise, he sort of reels back a little bit in surprise at having this like little metallic life form in front of him. And he like stumbles into a chair and then goes, oh, he adjusts his glasses.
My, that's an interesting friend you've got.
Not our friend. Alchemist's engineer's friend that we seem to have discovered that it's gone missing. And to be frank, I feel like we've got ourselves in quite a bit of a mystery with zero information.
An alchemist? Do you happen to have this alchemist's name?
Strange. You'd think I would. But you've all I've got traveling? Written down here is Grimp and Graham, so that's not helpful.
You've been traveling with, you've been traveling with Carol, who is actually Ferator's therapist. So
yep,
I guarantee
that's right.
in conversation at some point, Ferator's name would have come up on your journey, so you would have that knowledge.
Yeah, cool. I'm writing notes to myself because I'm doing most of this from memory because my notes are bad. So, you should be impressed. Ferator. Any?
Yes, I know Ferator lives in Prickleton. Lovely little town to the south.
Yes. Shame about the fire.
What fire?
Ferator's house.
Ferator's house? Caught fire. Oh my.
Well, yes. Oh my, indeed. Only we found no sign of Ferator.
Well, he passed through Thorndale a week ago, perhaps?
Heading north?
I don't know. He stopped in here. He said hello. We knew each other from some time ago, and then I didn't see him again.
Did he look for anything while he was here?
No. Just said hello.
Are you sure it's not Kashtar?
I don't...
He turns and starts shuffling through some things, and then a good couple of minutes goes by and he comes back with a book and he blows dust off of it. Like, it's obvious this book hasn't been touched in a while. And opens it up and flicks through pages and then says,
oh, you're right. There was a god called Kashtar. People used to worship fair few hundred years ago. It's been a long time.
See, this is where my information runs out for, like, what I might want to know. Well, what does it say? About Kashtar, I know very little.
It says Kashtar is god of life. Some reports suggested that it was a she, and it presided over the realm. So perhaps, you know, not just a god, but the god. It'd be a bit strange for people to forget if that were the case.
Well, unless they wanted you to. Or unless... And Simon's just sort of thinking about how you could possibly forget an entire god. Like, it just seems weird. Unless, what if they don't exist?
Well, it's certainly something to ponder, I guess, especially in these troubled times. Have you encountered any feral animals besides that bear outside?
No. But do you ever feel like you popped into existence fully formed?
I can't say I've ever thought on the nature of my own existence.
I swear, Woody, I was a pigeon flying around with not a thought in my head, and then all of a sudden, I was talking to a mouse and wearing a golden breastplate.
Well, if that isn't the most relatable story ever told. It's getting late now. I've got some things to tidy up around here.
Oh, I do apologize. I'm so, so sorry. Thank you very much for your time, Woody, and for looking for things for me.
I'm sorry I haven't been much help.
No. You've been a great help, and I thank you. Now, just one last thing. Any lodgings in this town?
Well, there is an inn in the middle of town. I mean, you can't miss it. It's the only one.
Okay.
But there's also there's an emergency shelter that's been set up, or being set up as we speak in the town hall.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you. Oh, I'll leave you for the night. Good night, Woody.
Good night, hero.
My name is Cash.
Yes, we all know your name. Says Woody as he's walking out. I'm Woody, says Simon.
The rest of the night passes, and you wake up in the morning to find out that the bear's body has gone. People are gathered around as if that's weird, like no one they knew dealt with it. A few people appear to have gone missing as well. Like, there's talk around the town of, like, you know, where's this person or where's that person?
Talk around the town generally where?
Just like, everyone seems to have gathered around the site, or the former site of the bear, where the bear is no longer, and part of the conversation is, where's the bear gone?
Well, and it's also like,
where's so-and-so? So-and-so, no one's seen...
Yeah. I assume the bear was probably within sight of the inn. So if we woke up, looked out our bedroom window, we would notice the distinct sight of the bear being gone. You know?
Yeah. So also, it was a like bear-sized bear.
Mm-hmm.
So are there giant bear-sized drag marks leading into the Great Forest?
We should investigate! Yeah.
Make diamond flicks for whoever wants to investigate.
Man. Ooh, got the right suit, but it's a king.
Cool. Got the wrong suit, but it's a 6.
God.
So, 15. So
10.
Or no, it's that's a 13, right? So an 18?
Yeah. It's a 10 of the best of my knowledge, and I also get a minus.
Okay. Jeff.
It's an 11 for me, but it's also a heart, so.
Yep. Jeff notices that there is a little bit of a drag mark, but then gets distracted looking at something else. And
south?
To the west.
South.
And
Oh, no, wait. Robert, I'm flying, so it's actually a 13, but still a heart.
Okay. Yep. Carol notices that there are drag marks heading out to the west, but the drag marks are faint, as if whatever took this bear away sort of lifted it a bit. Like, it wasn't just completely dragged with its full body against the ground. Like, the dirt, the ground is a little bit disturbed. And Simon notices the same, but has a negative flavour of flying into a tree.
Yay! I love trees.
Look at that jungle!
Yeah, because you're flying and looking down at this drag mark.
And oh, look, there's drag marks, and it looks like... That's what happens.
Yeah, love that. Good Foley work. Okay, well, we kind of have two options now. We can...
Yep.
Well, we have three options. I mean, well, okay... We have three more explorers.
Spit it out, Dr. Carol! Simon says, spitting out, like, pine needles and stuff out of his beak right now.
Excuse me, like, she has like, a legal pad out that she's been, like, writing these options on. I'd like to be thorough. So, we can continue northward to try and figure out what might be going on with Ferator. We can go west, where these drag marks appear to be leading. And then the... I believe other things have been coming from the east, so I would be inclined to continue northward, as I'm concerned about my patient and think we might be able to find more information. And I'm not necessarily inclined to go back west right now, because whatever dragged the bear away is capable of picking up and dragging a bear. And at best case scenario, that's just another bear.
You speak
in my head.
Wise truths, Dr. Carol.
I do try, yeah.
She's thorough.
Things that pick up bears, I feel, are not things that we want to encounter. Yes. I have to admit, my curiosity leads me towards finding Ferator and figuring out why this thing, and he holds up the seed, keeps telling me its name is Cash.
The creator wants to meet you.
Someone wants to meet me, apparently.
We know, Johnny, we know. Okay. So.
My name is Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And to be frank, it's just getting annoying. So if we could make it stop... before we investigate other things, that might be quite good.
Here, I would suggest just put it deep in the bag, so that if it does say something, it might be at the very least just...
You know, I'll bury it with the ball bearings. Just like pouring ball bearings over the top of it.
Jeffrey, do you have any insight into the situation?
Jeffrey, by character, tends to face the crowd rather than the group. Does he see anybody sort of milling about looking as though they have something to say?
I will let you narratively decide that.
I would say that there is probably somebody skulking at the edge of the group, and upon being seen makes a break for it. Or attempts to filter back into the crowd.
Okay. Yep. There is a
cockroach.
Yep.
No.
Yep. A huge cockroach, like a massive cockroach, does exactly what you said. Like, tries to make a break for it.
It scuttles.
In aggressive reflection, Jeffrey scuttleth after. Boosting himself onto the heads and faces of the crowd, he jumps between them. Jumps from the side of one face to the next with an audible slap from the larger creatures.
Okay, this is definitely a spade flip.
What about this? 7. It's 11, and I think I'd probably call that swashbuckling pretty convincingly.
Yep.
So it's a 14.
Okay, yeah, you manage to do that. You dart in and out of the crowd. You have a few clumsy stumbles, but for the most part, you're zipping through unimpeded.
Stumbles, yeah. Jeffrey then performeth an okay sort of dismount, landing in front of the cucaracha and saying, "What ho!"
You notice that the cockroach looks at you and its eyes are glazed white as well, and then it turns and scurries away, and you watch its path, and it actually scurries in between three approaching foxes.
Ho! What have we here?
Yeah, because Simon doesn't know any of this, because Simon's still back there. Yeah. Simon turns to Dr. Caro and goes, "Do you think it's avoidance issues? Like, he just can't make a decision, so he does this kind of stuff."
Well, from my brief interactions with him, it does seem that outward acceptance and appearance are very important to him. And can make
Stop
it,
talking about me, Robert. Stop it.
They can make it difficult to take leadership positions because you don't want to upset and disappoint those around you.
And we're walking and talking towards, because we haven't seen the cockroach has white eyes or anything. Like, we're just like walking back behind him.
Popping up and somersaulting as he as he attempts to intercept the ruffians.
You know, it's a lot easier to you know, do a flourish and a flare than to make a hard decision. And
I feel like, you know, it's a shy away from the emotional acceptance of what you want out of life as well, you know? Like, he's just not telling us what he wants. You know?
The sad part that
it cried, "Come at the house, you pounder! And I shall empathize thy own tongue."
Okay, Jeff, I want you to flip initiative against three foxes as they are approaching the town menacingly. Queen, 3-2. Cool bananas. So one of them acts first. And so these three foxes, there's a red, an orange, and a brown fur, just for simplicity. And the red one lunges at you and tries to swipe at you with its claws. And it gets a total score of 14.
And my... Sorry, which set does that hit?
You decide how you defend.
So using the shield to deflect the blow, that would be with my spade, which is a 13. And I would say that facing off against these guys, I will argue for a plus one macho to 14.
Sure, why not? 14 to 14. Okay, so it swipes at you with its claws and it just scrapes right off the shield. And while it's up close, you can see its eyes are glazed over as well. They're just pure white, no pupil. And it just says, "Wither is on its way. Soldiers of Kashtar will die."
Jifferay responds, "Thou scarest me not, bedraggle. Take thy stench elsewheres."
And it's your turn.
Attack.
Yep, okay. Flip your attack.
Nine of diamond. The attack being a club move, I assume.
Again, if you're swashbuckling, it's probably spades.
Well,
you decide.
That sort of riposte day, I will definitely take. So that is a 13, 16, and I won't reapply macho nor moxie, but that's fine. So 13, 16.
Okay, it gets a 17 to try and dodge out the way. So you...
Well, I made a fun line. It was kind of ribald. but otherwise, no.
So you do a sweet swashbuckling attack, and it dodges swiftly out of the way and just swipes at you with a claw as it does for one damage.
Ha-ha!
Do we...
A scratch, foul beast.
Do we see this? Yeah.
I mean,
you
can...
know when we're here, basically.
Because, I mean, we've been watching him leap about and, you know, leap towards things. We didn't think he was...
walking towards this whole thing.
Yeah.
You tell me if you think that in this moment rather than just thinking, hey, where did he go? He's so weird, he's always going places. If you would be thinking instead, I wonder if he's in trouble.
Well, so my understanding is that whole conversation about, like, talking about his, you know, deeper psyche is, like, as we're, like, pushing through the crowd towards his
after voice. His leapingness.
Right, but not in a hurried manner. Just, like, casually, like, excuse me, pardon me, as I'm, like, you know, psychoanalyzing.
Yeah.
Okay.
But if I saw something scratch at him, being that we've actually been through quite a lot together delivering the letter to Trestlespoon's brother, I would probably leap in to defend him.
Yeah. Okay. In that case, when this round is done, you see what's going on and you can join the fray.
Cool.
Perfect.
Okay, so the orange fox is then going to try and bite you and gets a 20 all up.
I get a opposite.
Nice.
It's a spade. But we're starting out from an 11.
That's a 13.
Sorry, 13. 15. Jeffrey, as he already has his shield limbered and his sword bared, naked blade aglitter in the setting sun, I think we can all agree, seeming to be afire with the cruel machinations of a dying star, will attempt to fend that off with his shield. I've gotten a spade, a king thereof, which means a 17. Plus 2 for my shield, 19. And I could make an argument for Macho, but I won't, so I'm going to settle it at 19.
Okay, yeah. So you, it makes a swiping attack, and you get your shield up to deflect most of it, but it still manages to get a little scratch on your tiny little mouse wrist.
Oh, for 1 damage?
1 damage. And then the brown fox is going to
could I have a small pop above the eye soon as well, just for dashing?
Okay, sure. The next time you get attacked, it will be an eyebrow scar.
Fantastic, beautiful, I love it.
So the brown fox is going to come around the side of its companions, and this time go for the
brown fox, and has it jumped over a lazy dog?
you don't know its activities before now. But it's mumbling, like, wither is on its way, wither is on its way. And it lunges at you to bite, but it gets the worst possible flip on a club action of an ace of spades. So it's a total of 7, and it's a negative outcome regardless. So flip to defend against a bite attack.
Really bad. Also, it's a 3 of diamonds. I know that I can't do worse than what you've got. But I do have +2 from my shield and +2 from my coat. I'll take the +2 off the shield. The coat's kind of a lie. So I'd call that a 5 with the cutlass. Chifferay swings back and meets the biting snoot along the way. Bracing his cutlass against the shield, he meets the snoot with it, forcing the attacking fox into his blade.
So which stat do you think that is?
That to me is a spade move. It's agility based rather than strength.
Cool, so add that and then give me a total.
So this is 7, +2 for the shield, +3 for the swashbuckling.
Okay, 12.
Cool.
Great. Against its 7, it lunges in for this bite. You do your sweet shield plus cutlass combo, and you damage it for 5.
Fantastic. This is going to be a battle.
And since it gets a negative outcome, I'm going to say that in the next round, it just goes last in initiative. It's very off put. And now everyone flip.
Yay!
I do like the reset initiative. I'm a big fan.
I do too. I didn't like it in principle initially because I was like, oh, there's just more flipping then. But it's good. 8.
In Warhammer 40k kind of an Armageddon. You're dealing with huge armies, jack of clubs.
I can see yours. I couldn't see Simon's.
It's an eight hearts.
Eight of spades.
Cool. Jeff, you act first. Your companions have joined you.
More gigantic adventures coming soon when Jeff and Simon return.
The Gigantic Adventures of Jeff and Simon uses the Suited RPG system by Skatebox Games. If you want to learn more about Suited, head to escapeboxgames.com. We're a proud member of the Podicon Go Network, family-friendly shows that are fun for everyone. Thanks for listening.
I can still hear Zoran ask.
Dice Tower Theater's Dawn of Dragons, a unique narrated audio drama based around a basement tabletop role-playing game. Six children grow up in the dawning epicenter of a new war. Two brothers, Benedict the Pious and Careful, and Zane the Carefree, are joined by their younger cousin Cordelia, the blacksmith and seamstress's daughter, their friends Zoran the son of the local justice, and Sophie, the abandoned sister of a young and beautiful sword for hire, accompany them on this journey. Sword, sorcery, and adventure await to engage the listener along the way in our 20 minutes or less episodes. We hope you enjoy Dice Tower Theater's Dawn of Dragons, a proud member of the family-friendly Podicon Go Network.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking.